Amen. You can turn in your Bibles to Ezekiel 37. I'm really thankful for where the Lord is taking us today. And, Was that Richard? He asked that earlier. So if there is anybody that needs a Bible that didn't raise your hand earlier, we can get you one. Thank you for the reminder, Richard, but he did ask earlier. Ezekiel 37, we looked at a verse in 36 last week, and you know, God wants to bring revival. And he is, and we say that a lot. I've been around a long time, right? That guy is pretty ancient. He is really ancient. And I say that, but there are seasons in the ministry. There are seasons of sowing. There's seasons of plowing and watering, weeding. There's seasons of discipleship. There's all kinds of seasons in the church. And then there's times when you just know God is getting ready to pour out whole new work. And it's interesting today because we're missing a lot of people, and I'm not at all discouraged about that. There's enough in this room to turn this valley upside down. And he has who he has here on purpose. And it's a beautiful thing. And this revival that he describes, we talked about it some Wednesday night. We just kind of looked at some of these things. And when we ask Wednesday night, what does revival mean to you? And people just started throwing up these one-word things. All of them were beautiful, profound, very spirit-led. And pretty much every one of those things is described by God in Ezekiel 36 as he talks about this amazing revival that he was going to bring Israel through. And by the way, I'm a very firm believer that God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And all the things that he brought there, I mean, bringing a heart of flesh to repent, place a heart of stone, putting his spirit in his people, glorifying God's name. And the last part of that, chapter 36, thus saith the Lord, verse 37, I will also let the house of Israel inquire of me to do this for them. In other words, there's an outpouring of the Spirit of God that brings a people of God to a place of intercession, praying together. There's a spirit that calls us to come together and inquire of God. And I do want to encourage you to come Wednesday night and pray. It is particularly powerful, and it's extremely important for us to do that. And then he says this, to do this for them, and I will increase their men like a flock. This really struck my heart, like a flock offered as holy sacrifices. Jesus said, this is my new commandment for you, that you love one another. And then he went on to describe that as what? We lay down our lives. And all of us, men and women, need to know what it is to lay down our very lives for each other, to know what it is to live at that kind of daily sacrifice. But one of the fruits of this revival is that men will lead in that. He will increase their men like a flock. It's really dear to my heart. We have this amazing stewardship in this body of having 50-some children in this body. When I talk about children, there are anybody that's from high school age and down. And there's this amazing junior church ministry going off just up there right now. It's really cool stuff. But I was just talking this morning to our leadership about one of the ways in which God is going to open up for our outreach is our children reaching other children and then us reaching their parents, because we live in a fatherless generation. A lot of children are really hurting, and they come to our Christian homes and they just hang out because they so need love. God's going to raise up men, the last verse of the Old Testament, whose hearts will turn toward their children. Like a flock offered his holy sacrifices, like the flock at Jerusalem on its feast day, so shall the ruined cities be filled with flocks of men. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. Father, I thank you for your word today. As we look at how you are going to bring this revival, oh God, Spirit of the living God, fall in this place. Speak to your people. Draw us out as you drew Ezekiel out, and set us in this valley. Give us your eyes to see. Give us your heart to feel. And I thank you, God, that you will do this work. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Amen. So this is how this is going to happen, Ezekiel 37. The hand of the Lord God came upon me and brought me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. You know, we've been talking for some time about a little outline. There needs to be a radical commitment to the new commandment if we're going to have a foundation that stands in the storm. And that new commandment, of course, is that we love one another, and the key word is there. We need to hear it, and we need to what? Keep it. We need to keep doing it. You can't just love for a season. And then when we have that foundation of hearing and keeping the commandment of loving one another, and we do not violate that, we stay faithful in the body of Christ, we stay faithful in loving one another, then from that foundation, there comes a calling. We begin to then, we're in a place where God can call us, and Ezekiel is in that place, and God called, and the calling is, those that hear the commandment, keep. Those that hear the calling, go. You go. You have this passion to reach your world for the glory of the kingdom. And there's this cry that erupts from that, and it has two elements to it, right? You're going, but now you know you're called of God, and so two things begin to dominate your world. You begin to pray like never before. So this cry first goes to God. God, help. Because now you've called me to reach this world I cannot do anything about. These people are dead, as we're going to look at. And then there's prayer. But the other thing that's lacking today, so notably lacking, is that the cry needs to come from your lips, and that is there needs to be preaching. And not this kind of preaching on Sunday morning. There needs to be you preaching to the bones. Please hear that. The good soil bears much fruit because the good soil hears the word of God, hears the commands of God, and keeps, hears the calling of God and goes, and hear the cries of God. And then we begin to pray and we begin to preach. And Ezekiel was one of those men of God. And the hand of God came upon him, brought him out by the Spirit of the Lord, and set him down in the midst of the valley. Before any great revival, there is a man, there is a woman who gets carried away by God and set down. I need to ask you a question. Is it okay with you if you get completely carried away in the Spirit? And I mean that. See, my roots, my background, wasn't raised in the church, so the church was a really foreign place to me. And I had seen people I thought were carried away, and they were completely, they were just flat out weirdos to me. So when I came to the Lord, the one thing I didn't want to be was one of those people. And I did a really good job of that for a long time. Those people are people who raise their hands in church, you know, get all carried away. Yeah. And I was extremely biblical until it came to those places, and then I was dignified. And it was a time in my life where I came to realize that God's going to pour out a great revival in the end times. I started to look how that revival was going to look. And I realized that with my heart posture and my physical posture and my attitude, I would have said no to that revival because it didn't fit my personality type. So let me ask you again, are you ready? Are you willing to be carried away by the Spirit of God? You have to be. He was carried away. I don't mean that in some sort of nonsensical way, but he was carried and set down. We have to be people who are willing to release any control. Are you willing to be carried out of your own comfort zone? Jesus said, he that will preserve his life will lose it, but he will lose his life for my sake, for my cause, for my kingdom, for my calling. He will lose his life for that. That person is going to find what it is to really be alive. Who is willing today to be carried away by his Spirit and set down? By the way, this set down doesn't mean you... I do a good bit of setting down in my old age. I have a recliner, I get it, kick back, and sleep just like that. There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God, but it's not here. He doesn't mean set down and chill. He means set down as in you just landed on a foreign planet. You just set down. in a valley full of bones, right in the middle of all those bones. Before revival, there has to be someone willing to be carried, someone willing to be set in the valley of death. Do you really want revival? Are you willing to say, Lord, carry me, take me? I hear my Lord, take me, take this whole life as a living sacrifice and set me right in the middle of the valley full of bones. I mean, this is a Holy Spirit check right here, okay? Because I want you to stop and think, because I am a very firm believer that the valley full of bones is not some mystical place back in Ezekiel's time. If the Spirit of God has your heart and you are here in this valley, you don't have to stress your mind to relate to Ezekiel. Is this place not full of dead people? I mean, does your meter not peg when you read Ezekiel's moment here, because you see it, you feel it, it's real? And there's a lot of people that come to this valley. I mean, you know, it's a great place to come to. I've been here most all of my life. I was born just over that hill. I married a woman who was born right over there. So all of my adult life, if I could use that term loosely, try to avoid that adult tag. But all of my adult life, I've lived here, and I still love living here. It's a beautiful place. I sat on my son-in-law's deck last night, and the sun was so perfect. I told Dan, I said, if you could change the dial on the thermometer out here, you wouldn't have to change a thing. It's just beautiful. It's a beautiful place, right? A lot of people come here, but that's not what God's saying. Are you by His Spirit set down here and seeing what He sees? It was full of bones. Skulls and scapulas and metatarsals and femurs and ribs and tibias, all bleached white, eyeless, empty skulls. No raft floating the Bitterroot River on a beautiful summer day, no hikers, no horseback riding, no picnics. It's a valley full of bones. People wouldn't come to a valley full of bones to vacation, no cabin rentals, no tourist trade. Just a valley full of bleached white bones. Tried to get a picture of that, by the way, because, and I looked at several, and I looked at several again this morning with Wendy, and this valley of bones, there's this dirt floor, and there's just like bones scattered around. That's not what it says, right? It's a valley what? Full of bones. It's intense. And they're not just, they're not just bones, but they're exceedingly dry. And I want to read this next verse. Then he caused me to pass by them all around. Behold, there were many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. He caused me to pass by them all around. And I want, again, the Spirit of the God. Are you willing to be carried? Are you willing to be placed into? And are you willing to have the Spirit of God pass you by people all around? It's kind of a mystical thing, but it means that you literally see the depravity. You see every side, and you realize that this is what? Very, very dead. And we know that they're just a breath away from an eternal place called hell. And so they're not just dead, but their future is just a breath away. And you get this sense that He's causing you to see all around. He sees what's going on now, but you also see what's coming, and you realize that they're so dead. Do you see them? See, the Spirit of God has to do that for you. And the Spirit of God did that to Ezekiel. Caused me to pass by them all around and to see, behold, there were many and they were very dry. So what do you see? See, without seeing what God sees, I could talk to you all day about people needing the Lord, but if the Spirit of God, if you do not have His heart and His mind, it just becomes, I don't know, just some sort of temporary guilt trip. The Spirit of God caused Ezekiel to see on every side. Not a quick glance, not just a blow by, but to really see. I mean, there's the quick look, right? We meet somebody on the street. Then there's the kind of the fast pass. How you doing? Didn't really mean to answer that. And then there's the all around. To see people all around. See, even if they don't see it, if they don't get it, if they don't understand where they're headed, you know, right? And you believe. And God, it's God who reminds us of what is so obvious, that we were lost and so are they, and they have no hope because we had no hope, and they're dead because we were dead, and they desperately need life. And God reveals that to us. Today, right now, in this place, God sees all around. He sees not only your past, not only your present, but he sees your future. He not only sees the things hidden in you, but he sees all around. He reveals the truth. And we live this weird world where people say, well, what I do is none of your business. Not only is it our business, but the scripture says we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. And so not only is God seeing, but all those that have gone on before. What's a witness? They're not. They're somebody who sees. We need to enter into this world and open our eyes and say, oh God, help me to see all around. And how dead were they? They're dry bones. There are bones and then there's dry bones. Unfortunately, being on a ranch, there's a lot of things that happen. A lot of things you end up burying and you deal with a lot of dead stuff. And then we have hundreds of deer around our place. And there's a predator that keeps killing deer. Not enough, by the way. Just saying. And so we have a lot of bones. And my dogs drag a lot of bones into the yard. It's a constant thing. You walk in our front lawn, if I haven't been out there recently, as in like 4 or 5 hours, it's just a dead zone. There's dead things. Some things that were swimming in the pond a month ago, some things that were swimming in the pond 5 minutes ago, they're just dead bones. But nothing is so dead that a dog at least won't chew on it. It has to be really dead before a dog won't chew on it. How dead are these bones? A dog won't chew on it. Dead. There's no life left in it. None. I know from Cameroon, it's a little weird, but those people in Cameroon eat bones. So if you get a deer this fall, give Fidelis the bones, give me the backstraps. But there's life in the bones, right, Fidelis? I just think that's the weirdest thing, by the way. But these are so dead, dog wouldn't eat it. They're exceedingly dry. What's that tell you? What's that tell you about the valley? It's dead. Way dead, long dead, exceedingly dry. And that's our calling. That by the Spirit of God, he would set you in the midst of them. You can't go right or left without kicking, without bumping into it, without seeing it. And he's making you all around see it and embrace it. And it's our calling. And that's why from our cry, there's this eruption. And then he asked a faith question. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And Saul answered, O Lord God, you know. And I want to submit to you that he asked this question because it's a question you and I need to ask ourselves. I mean, we see the truth. We see the lifelessness, the ugliness. Theologically, we know the total depravity doctrines. And God speaks to us and says, and put your name in there, put your name in there, put your name in there. Son of man, daughter of man, child of God, can these bones live? Can they live? I asked some questions. Can an empty skeleton ask you to pass the gravy? Maybe it's a female skeleton saying, hey, I need some chocolate. I mean, what can dead bones do? Nothing, right? Except slowly decompose. And the more we understand total depravity, the question actually needs to ring deep in our heart. Can these bones live? And that's why he turns it back to God. Oh, Lord God, you know. God wants to bring revival. He wants to bring life. He wants to bring something that will glorify his name. And here he is showing us how he's going to do that. First of all, he makes us to see all around and to know just how dead they really are. And then he asks you a question, do you believe? Is your faith going to let loose the power of God, or is your unbelief going to be a hindrance to the revival that God wants to bring? Can these bones live? Can these bones live? And by the way, I say that because a lot of people are now giving up on the United States. You hear it all the time. Oh, revival's breaking out all over the world and people are getting saved. So those bones can live, but not here. I hear that unbelief all the time. So where did the early church start? In Jerusalem. Can you imagine seeing those bones? Seeing all around the death, seeing the power of depravity, seeing the extra that rose up and crucified Jesus himself. To those 11 disciples, the same question could resonate from heaven. Can those bones live? And I want to tell you that they answered in faith. Why do I know? Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 4:13. And this needs to be our response. Ezekiel had this same faith. I really believe it. And since we have the same spirit of faith, love this passage in 2 Corinthians 3, 4, and 5. It's just beautiful. But right in the middle of it is this statement. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, and therefore I spoke. We also believe, and therefore what? Speak. When we really believe, we will speak. The disciples, even those that had fled, when they heard the calling of God, they believed that God had called you. They believed that those bones could live. And when Pentecost happened, what did they do? They preached. And they kept preaching, or you wouldn't be here today. I wrote this earlier. Way, way, way too many times I hear Christians who have been set in the midst of the valley of the bones, and they try to complain. And they try to gripe. And they say, oh, these people are so dead. Let me ask you a question. This is one of those dull moments, right? If they weren't dead, they wouldn't need who? You. God did not move in Ezekiel and set him in a valley full of living people who didn't need him. He set him in a valley full of what? Is that something to curse God and be complaining about? Or is that something to praise God and open your mouth by faith? Too many Christians are coroners. They want to run around and give you an autopsy report on how this guy they're working with cusses like crazy and does this and does that. And they want to give you an autopsy report on all the things that he does. Well, guess what he's doing? Just what dead people do. And we want to run around, you know, giving those kind of reports. But that's not faith. Faith says what? That man can be saved. That man can live. And he has a calling for every one of us. And whether or not we believe in the power of God to save people, it dictates how we're going to respond. Because look at what he tells him. Let's go back to Ezekiel 37. So he asks him the question, can these bones live? And then he said to me, prophesy to these bones. I wrote this, and that's the title of this message, they preach to the bones. Because there's this word prophesy is nabad. It means to speak or sing under divine inspiration in either prediction or simple discourse. And the majority of prophecy in the Old Testament is not predicting the future. It's just proclaiming under divine unction the word of God. And you and I are called to go preach to the bones. I want to submit to you today that that's a faith crisis in the church. We are to sing to the bones and speak to the bones, God's holy word. But I need to ask you, do you believe in the power of you speaking the word of God to the dead? Or, as you've looked out at all the bones around you, has all that death overwhelmed your faith? Do you rise up and it's just a fearful thing? I mean, they are so dead, and the enemy rattles those bones right in front of you, and you see all around. The more you see, they are exceedingly dry, and so you back up and you shut your mouth. Paul said, "Because I believe, I open my what? Voice. I speak." We're called to preach to the bones. People are often, when they read this passage in Ezekiel, and I'm guilty of the same thing, we get excited about the miracles of these bones rising up and coming together, right? But there's a miracle that happens before that. And it's the miracle that happens in this passage. He says to them, preach. He said to them, preach to these bones. And say to them, old dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And thus says the Lord to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. And so I, what's verse 7 say? I preached, I prophesied as I was. You realize what a miracle that is? It's a miracle that if it hadn't happened, none of the rest of it would have happened. It's the first great miracle. He preached to the bones. The scripture says the foolishness of preaching God has chosen to change the world. So yes, you're right. It feels like foolishness. It feels foolish to preach to the bones. You know, I think about this, and it's kind of a twisted idea. But if you're one of those organizational people, and God said preach to the bones, you'd have a skull on every chair. Look at me. I'm looking at you. Listen up. And you know how Fidelis always goes, hello? He does that to us a lot, right? Hello? Because he's wanting you to what? Wake up and say something back. Can you imagine calling a meeting to order if you're called to preach to the bones? That's a little weird, right? I mean, it takes faith when they're not looking at you, when they can't respond to you, when they're exceedingly dead, to preach to the bones. It's exactly what God's asking you to do. It's exactly what he's asking you to do. That's a crazy miracle, right? I don't know, I thought of Tom Hanks in Castaway saying, hey, Wilson. That's crazy, right? That's crazy. But that's what we're called to do. Are you willing to open your mouth when it's so obvious that you're preaching to bones? See, we need a revival of faith again in the church. We need to believe that we're called of God. And we need to believe that the word of God that proceeds from us is not our word, but his word. We need to believe, we need to be able to answer the Lord with a resounding yes when he says, do you believe that these bones shall live? We need to say, yes, Lord, we believe. We believe so much we will open our mouths and we will speak. So we're called to go and preach the gospel to the bones. Carried out by the Spirit, placed into a valley, set down right in the middle of so much death. And then we preach to the bones. We're not corners, but we are preachers. Before revival, we've got to see the death. We've got to know our calling. And I mean, we need to see the death. We need to smell the smoke of their torment coming so quickly. There needs to be a new baptism of anguish in the church. There needs to be a cry out to God in prayer. And then there needs to be a speaking of his word on the street with faith. I wrote this way earlier this morning. We need a bone-shaking faith. We need a bone-rattling faith, a bone-gathering faith. We need a bone-lifting faith. We need a bone-knitting-together faith. We need a body-building, sinew, flesh, and heart-beating, hair-growing faith. We need an ears-hearing, eyes-seeing, tongue-confessing Jesus as Lord faith. And as he tells him later, he tells him to preach to the bones, and then he tells him to preach to the Spirit. Have you ever, ever turned to God and preached to the Holy Spirit? Come, Holy Spirit, come. He gives us the authority and the power to request the Holy Spirit to come from his four winds upon this place and upon his church and upon the dead. But you have to have faith. We have to have a faith so strong that we will preach to the bones, knowing that God will raise the dead. That's as far as we're going to go today, because that's your assignment. I want you to go out this week intentionally. Open your mouth. God wants to bring revival, amen? There's an old ditty, an old children's song. You know it, right? Them bones, them bones, them. Them bones, them bones, them. So we're going to go, so this is a very small group over here. We're going to make them sing that, and then you guys are going to listen to them. But Pastor Fidelis is in there, and he knows this little song, right? Them bones, them dry bones. That's awesome. He doesn't know it. So there's like four here that do. So you guys can go. Ready? One, two, three. Speaking of raising the dead. Good job, John. So I want to hear it again. That's not the right song. She put a weird song up there. What kind of leader do we have back there? That's not even the right song. No. That's not the little chorus they make the children do. That makes it confusing to children, right, John? That's not right. You had it right, John. Them bones, them dry bones. Them bones, them dry bones. Them bones, them bones. So you do it three times, and then you say, now hear the word of the Lord. So here's what we're going to do, since you guys did such a great job leading it. You're going to say the first them bones, them dry bones, and it's dim, not them. Where are you people from? Turn that thing off. So you guys are then going to go them bones, them dry bones, okay? And then you guys are going to go them bones, them dry bones, and you're all going to say, then hear the word of the Lord. We're going to do this. There's a reason we're doing this, by the way. So we're going to start over here. So your line is very simple. Them bones, them dry bones. And then you guys are going, them bones, them dry bones. You guys are joining them on that. And then you guys are going, them bones, them dry bones. So got that? So we're going to start with our leaders over here. Them bones. Now hear the word of the Lord. You guys are doing pretty good. Let's do it again. Now hear the word of the Lord. Okay, that's awesome, right? Isn't that fun? But here's the problem. And it's a problem that we got to get past. The only way they're going to be alive is if they what? But here's the problem. You are the ones called to preach to the bones. What happens when you don't speak? Nothing. So we can sing that song all day, them bones, and you got to hear the word of the Lord, man. I hope somebody goes and tells you. I'll maybe hear it on the radio. We send money to the radio. Those guys can tell them. It's not God's plan. It's you. By the Spirit of God, being carried away by the Holy Spirit of God and set in that valley, open your eyes, see the dead, and preach to the bones. That's God's plan. That's how he's going to bring revival. He's going to bring revival. In closing today, we're going to sing a song we sang earlier, but I want to read a passage to you. In Romans 10, 9 and 10, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Amen? For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's how people are born again into the kingdom of God. It's the word of faith. It goes on to say, for the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. For there's no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is over all is rich to all who call upon him. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Those that were dead come alive. Amen? Amen. But how then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a what? Without a preacher. And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. By the Spirit of the living God. We're going to sing this song again. And this song proclaims, right? This song cries out, dry bones come alive, right? We sang it earlier. We're going to sing it again. You cry out before a holy God. And all of us, as I mentioned earlier to our music team, they have faces that come in front of them that are dead. And I have faces that come in front of me. I can't hardly sing this song because there's too many prodigals. There's too many people that just break my heart. We've seen a lot of that, right? And God actually wants us to keep seeing that. But there's a sense at which we can do this. We can cry out, come alive. Okay? In other words, we can do that as a prayer to God, but guess what? They're not here. So it's one thing to cry out to God and pray, but then guess what we need to do by faith? We need to go where they're at and speak life to them. I think sometimes in the church we can gather together and say and proclaim and sing, come alive, but we're not walking in the faith that it takes to go into a fallen world and speak, come alive. Hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord and live. So I want you to sing this song. But I want it to be a prophetic promise from your heart. And I mean that with all my... that it'll be a prophetic promise from your heart that right now you are determining before God that you will speak. You will go into a fallen world of dry bones. You will let God set you in their midst and you will speak. They overcame the enemy by the blood of the Lamb. And the what? The word of their testimony. You will tell your story about how Jesus came into your life. And you will speak. It's not enough to say, God, sick them. That's not his plan. His plan is you speaking life to a fallen world. He will use you. Do you have faith in that? Do you have faith? Do you believe that these bones can live? If you believe it and you're willing to promise God, willing to go and speak it, then that's what this is about. This is you promising, I will go do that. I will proclaim to the world, come alive. Because I believe these bones can live.